Hey, thank you so much for tuning back in. And since the first part or the first sequences of episodes and what I will be sharing will just be me unpacking and really healing some deep traumas that I have internalized and have made into my identity or formed part of my identity, which now I've realized has really done nothing but put me in a very compromising state of being, one that I just don't particularly want to, you know, do anymore, because it really serves as a disservice towards me. And the amount of self-betrayal, my goodness, the amount of disrespect towards myself and towards my own intuition and things that I don't think I should have, you know, let slide or people pleased in order to be validated in some way, because now I am here shoveling out all the gunk that I don't need that I thought I needed. But you know, I've met so many beautiful people in the last couple of months that have literally been so insightful and so motivating in terms of where I'm steering myself in the direction that I want to go. But yes, I met a very powerful woman named Mimi Lodo, and she's awesome. You should check her out on IG. Her handle is at the Shameless Witch. But anyway, she is very much a healer. She's very much a magician. She knows how to bring things to fruition or bring things to the material form. And I stumbled upon a post that she had regarding surrendering and the importance around not really having any objections. I don't even want to say objections, but not having any buts when it comes to the complete surrender. She tapped into how, you know, we like to go on about the fact that we are in a state of surrender, or we want to surrender completely. However, we come with buts, and the buts could be, you know, she based it on relationships, which is something that I'm currently going through now, or that's playing a very big, or it's kind of revealing a big misconception that I've had regarding surrendering. But when you completely surrender to the present, regardless of any form of idea that this is how you want things to pan out, surrendering, regardless if you are truthfully in the state of surrender, you wouldn't have any buts attached to the surrender, because at the end of the day, when you are in a completely surrendering state, truthfully so, you allow really for God's will to work through your life. And what I mean by God's will, we really need to get ourselves out of the idea that our will be done on earth. Rather, God's will be done on earth, you know? And by that I mean having no expectations on the outcome, having no expectations on how things need to turn out, having no expectations that if this doesn't go in a particular way while I'm acting in the complete state of surrendering, then I'm just not going to do it anymore, because this is not how it's supposed to play out. It should click in your mind there again that you aren't in the state of surrendering. It should click in at that moment, if there are rigidness or limitations on you completely surrendering, that you aren't in the full act of surrendering. So I've been dealing with a lot of my inner child wounds, and one thing that's really come up regarding my, you know, we have polarities, my one polarity, which is my shadow self, I've tapped in that I require a lot of attention, and I require a lot of validation, and validation in a form of attention. And I've realized how previously in certain encounters and relationships I've had with people, I was always charmed by the unlimitedness, or what felt like the unlimitedness of them being available and me having access to them, until later, over a period of time, those gestures kindly slowed down. And they unraveled that in the beginning of what I thought was unlimited access was actually just love bombing. You know, when somebody just gives you the undivided attention, somebody's just telling you everything that you just want to hear. They've created this amazing picture and this amazing idea of how everything's just going to look and how everything's just going to turn out. And it's all amazing. I'm very idealistic. And I think that's why when something like that is so romanticized for me, it's so easy for me to just get pulled in completely. And I've realized when that happens to me, it serves me so much less, because I am the type of person, if I'm devoted and if I'm loyal, my attention and my focus really gets drawn in back into the person. You know, my desire is really just me wanting to be more there for the person than I already am. And once those gestures slowly fade away from, you know, me being the receiver and the person giving, it's kind of like, wait, what happened? Like, everything in the beginning, you know, like, what was that? Until I realized that actually it was my self putting on rose-colored glasses regarding certain situations because of how I wanted it to be and not how it is. So I'm unpacking that, and it is, my goodness, the ghetto. The absolute pits, because not only have I crossed my own boundaries just so that I can cater, just so I can cater for another person, but I've really compromised myself. I put myself in such a compromising position, because now I feel as though the sense of security that stemmed from the unlimited access I had in the beginning is weltering away, or it's kind of disappearing, or it's literally the rug being, you know, pulled right under my feet. Like, I don't have a safe landing. So I'm currently going through a very, very weird, it's so intense, because I'm seeing the parts of my shadow that I had suppressed doing the people pleasing, doing the compromising, catering too much for the other instead of really putting it back into myself. And I'm seeing how it's crippled me, and it's made me seem as though not having it, like, it kind of, oh, it makes my mind go crazy, bro. It's like an addiction. It's like you crave it, you just want more of it, and you don't know why it stopped. So I've also kind of realized that, yes, I have a very addictive personality. And I don't want to orient myself around addictions and, yeah, that, all of that, addictions to people, addictions to things, you know, the dopamine effect that is released from these things, or what these things give me and release in me, it kind of makes me feel like, you know, like a fiend, like a crackhead. So, this was so good. It's so healing. Because, you know what, Nat? I'm trying to understand really right now. It seems as though a lot of things are warped in my mind, and they warped only because I've relied so much on the 3D. I think my connections, and I've based all my energy on the 3D, that it's really crippling me to a point where it makes me feel needy. You know, I've been avoiding that word since I've started this podcast, only because I didn't want to acknowledge or validate that within myself. It's just the neediness of it, you know? And I'm a very hyper independent person, and that's from a trauma response. And I've realized how I've kind of used my hyper independence as a form of strength for me. So immediately when things like this happen to me, when it comes to encounters with people and getting the love bombing stage, or getting into something with somebody who just continuously love bombs you, and then immediately it kind of stops, it makes me feel so needy, because now it's like I have to go back and be like, well, bro, today, why didn't you, why haven't, you know what I mean? Like, no. I do not have a desire to be this time. Please understand. Absolutely not. And my trauma response, because I've seen what I'm capable of being like when it gets to the stage, I completely cut off. And that's also very, very, very unhealthy. It's so toxic, because I literally pull away, I detach, and I start doing my own thing. Whatever that own thing is, like, if I need to prioritize me, however way it looks like I will be prioritizing it, be it good or bad, I will do it, you know? And I don't want to work so, I don't want to be so erratic and just, yeah, just be so reactive, you know? I really, every time I pray that God really, I pray for my mind. I pray for my mind, and I pray for the wisdom of God really to just flourish in my mind, because rather than depending on the 3D and depending on people and, you know, the giving and the receiving that happens in the 3D is so exhausting. I just want to dedicate most of that energy back to source. Like, I want to move it all the way back up vertically, because in the 3D, I've realized, like, I will continue, making or creating these particular cycles, even though they're with different people, but the storylines will be the same, you know. A very important thing currently right now is happening in my relationship. My partner soon will be moving to the States, and I wish him the absolute best, and I want him to, to thrive and to be so successful and be the person that he's really, really dreamt of being. And I see that for him. So he's supposed to leave soon, because the semester starts in UCLA, September time, around this time. So we're currently just waiting on visas. Currently, the situation in South Africa, if you're listening from anywhere else in the world, I'm based in South Africa. But we have a backlog of visa applications that have been reported from the embassies due to the whole COVID. Some story about how COVID really affected, and that's why there's so much of a backlog, yada, yada, yada. So yeah, currently we're waiting for that. And I think during this stage of him transitioning and about to move, he's been so busy. He's been busy completely, to a point where, like, I haven't had access to really see him in a while. I mean, it's maybe been a month, and a month isn't a big deal, but I think for us also, because majority of our relationship has just been oriented around work and creating and forming a sense of security and stability, we haven't really gotten to really enjoy our relationship. And I think that's something I want to experience before he leaves. And obviously when I do go and visit, that's what I want to, so that I can continue to strengthen our foundation. So while all of this is happening, your girl's going crazy. Your girl is going crazy, because I'm struggling with not having access to him the way I did, you know. And I realized when I get in this particular mode, I don't feel safe at all. I feel so vulnerable. I feel so naked, to a point where it's like I'm just really just, it feels as though I'm begging for the sense of security. There hasn't been anything that has made me feel that I need to be, you know, wary of my relationship. I pray a lot, and I am understanding that in the complete surrender of God's will, which will be done, be it in my favor or not, it's lining me up to my destiny and the person that I have been praying to be, you know. So I don't like stressing a lot as well. I'm not the type of person to really put so much focus on stress and so much control on the other person. Like, where are you? What are you doing? No, I strongly believe that people are here to be experienced and you can't possess people. That's just my whole analogy around that. So I've been struggling a lot and I kind of see how it's due to my shadow self and the traumas I've faced in my past, you know, of the stages where everything is just so rosy and beautiful and then it dies down to somewhat of a comfort. But this comfort, it's like we're not dating anymore. Like now we're 80 years old in this relationship, even though we're so young, we're acting like we're old. And you don't have a desire to not chase, but to nourish and to allow the relationship to unfold into the most beautiful, beautiful, fulfilling experience ever. Whew. That was the idealism within me. I love, and I've realized that the amount of love that I possess and I feel that I'm able to give to another, I'm going to revert it back and give it to God. I'm still going to have 3D relationships and interactions and generously give that love, but I know the love that I desire from the 3D with people, it's so much. I don't even believe that they're able to contain, not even contain, if they'll be able to manage all the love that I feel like I want to give, all the love that I feel like I should be given. So the cup I'm going to be filling is the one that I have truthfully with source, because I know if I'm running from if I am running to that well and I'm nourishing myself from that well, my cup will always overflow. My cup will always overflow. And the importance of that is really articulating my boundaries. One thing I've also noticed is that men are intimidated by women who are able to articulate themselves really well. It's so important to have a voice, and it's so important to learn how to have a voice. If you don't, start by screaming. Start by making loud noises. Start, you know, just unplug that throat chakra and start. You have something to say and it's important. So I'm articulating my boundaries a lot more, because right now, the way in which I feel in this complete surrendering, it's bringing so much ease in my spirit. Because before, when I was saying that I'm surrendering to the situation, I still wasn't. Like, when he would be too busy to have time for a phone call and only give me like a 5-minute phone call, my ego would definitely step in and be like, this person has ulterior motives and they are not in a desirable favor, or they're not acting in the desirable favor that is for you. You know, one thing I am honoring about my ego is the willingness to really have my back. But also sometimes I do strongly believe that it is so self-sabotaging. It's so self-sabotaging. And that's why in that moment I can honor that this is just destined, or this is just really designed to protect me. And I can see the love coming from that. But also, like, let's just be rational about how we're going to, you know, create the scenario, create or desire to see out the scenario, how it plays out. So yeah, I'm just unpacking that a lot, and God's will be done, regardless whether it is in your favor or whether it isn't. It's taking you to where you're destined to be, even though it might be a painful one, a painful experience. It's molding you to really go in the direction that you've prayed towards or have been wanting to be. So I'm not closing myself off from that completely, but I'm not at all, not even no buts to it. I am looking to really form a healthier relationship with my inner child, where I can genuinely reassure my inner baby that we're safe, you know. And that sense of relief can be felt from within, because then I'll know that it is received and it is understood. But right now, like, the little girl inside me is so scared, and she is literally asking so many questions and really just needing so much love and patience from me. And I'm understanding that I have to really be so patient with myself, because I'm not only speaking to the 28-year-old Bo, I'm speaking to the 2-year-old, I'm speaking to the 5-year-old, I'm speaking to the 18-year-old, or I'm speaking to the 14-year-old, I'm speaking to the 18-year-old. You know, I'm speaking to so many different stages of me that experienced so many impactful things that, like I said, created certain mechanisms which I identified as myself, which now I'm unpacking. So I know, like, there's just so much that the stillness that is required in the work that I'm about, not even about, I've been in this work. It just requires so much of the stillness and so much of God, and really more of an optimistic perception towards everything that's unraveling, even though literally everything's just on its head. It's the ability for me to really take God's strength and continue to walk this path truthfully with intention and checking my heart continuously. I do not deny the polarities or the things that I see as, oh my gosh, I don't really want to know this about myself. I accept it in fullness. One thing I desire, though, is mindfulness and acting from a point of wisdom, because certain things that we are experiencing currently right now in the 3D are all tests. They're all tests, and they're all tests, really, just to see exactly where we are when it comes to our minds and if we're really ready for the step that we're about to take or the venture that we're about to embark, if we are really, really, really ready for it. And the best way in doing that is to completely surrender and to feel things to totality, completely, just feel it, even if it's something that you don't want to feel. Allow yourself to process it, but do it with respect and compassion and patience towards yourself. I don't like saying that I'm coming back to myself, but I am taking out all the things that I had created and formed as part of my identity in really getting to know me. So I feel like this is just a new introduction and new expansion towards me and the person that I'm just blossoming to be. I'm just fruitfully opening up with so many treasures that I want to share with the world, but I can only do that from a space of complete surrender and allowing God's will to be done, because God's will is so expansive. It's multidimensional. It can literally shift timelines for me, and I could be quantum leaping into a new timeline that I could have only ever imagined. And I'm so excited about that reality for me. I'm so excited about the things that I really want to experience from this life. Another thing I've actually taken note of is I learn a lot of my lessons through relationships. Funny thing is, in the beginning, I was a sad girl in high school. Oh my God, like, yo, if I could take back the hands of time to my high school, I'd literally tell my baby girl to enjoy, live it up. Honestly, I was just completely a sad girl. Like, love was literally the, like, you know, it was doing my nails. It was literally, oh my goodness, it was... It was, oh my gosh, anyway, a hot mess. But yeah, I just kind of realized I just spent so much time in a state of sadness. Oh my gosh, no, don't take things so seriously. If you're a young person listening to this podcast, don't take things so seriously. Yes, everyone's experience and love is different. My mom always used to be like, you don't know what love is. And I feel like that is a very narrow way to think when it comes to young people and young people loving. One thing I do know is that if we have loved and loved has never worked when we're young, we can definitely love again. The bounce back, honey, trust me honey, the bounce back is amazing. I think we need to allow ourselves not to really hold on to any control when it comes to relationships. If a relationship is meant to be for you, it will healthily unfold and help you evolve and put you in a better position. And if it's not, there's no need for you to hold on to something that isn't going to be in your desirable favor. As much as the person you want is very desirable, how they treat you, how things play out in your life, and where you are as an individual, if you're evolving or regressing, is important. Don't hold on to things that make you feel stuck. You'll be sitting at 28 like me, shoveling out the gunk because of the trauma responses or the mechanisms that you've created and formed as your identity. You are multidimensional. You are expansive. You're so abundant and prosperous. You deserve everything that God has in store for you and is going to be showing out for you. So literally that's what I wanted to share today. And I think this is so important. Maybe we could do this unpacking thing like every day, you know? It's a form of therapy for me. It's really helping me a lot. I don't know if these recordings will be published. No, they will be published. I just haven't really mentioned any of this to I haven't mentioned any of this to anyone. Yeah, it's just like my open diary where I get to just be and just record and share my stories and not feel embarrassed about the person that I am while I'm sharing these stories, and to be completely vulnerable. That's all I want to do, is just be completely vulnerable and transparent. I'm not perfect whatsoever. Neither do I desire to be perfect, but I do want to be, you know, in right standing with God. I really want to embody the characteristics of Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to be a saint, but it's definitely an aspiration that I do want to aspire to be. I'm not better than anyone, but I'd rather not sit in the mediocrity of that and rather see the expansiveness of how really integrating Christ consciousness in my life will be fruitful for me. And yes, I'm a strong believer and I'm driven by faith, even though sometimes that faith, it's as small as a mustard seed, a grain of salt. It's as small as a grain of salt. I think a mustard seed's a little bit big, even if that faith that I'm holding on to, is literally as the size of a grain of salt. But we're so beautiful. We are so expansive. We are so deserving of everything that is beautiful. We are glorious. Oh my goodness. I'm thinking of Mika now. Oh, you are not what you think you are. You are golden. We are golden. I think that's how it goes. But Mika really was definitely the person or the artist he believed he was. So encouraging. You know what I mean? Like, listen to that. You are golden. Can we just rest in that knowing? And can we really work at being optimistic about ourselves? Continue to tell ourselves that our hearts are beautiful. Therefore, we illuminate the light and it seeps right through from the inside all the way out. Oh, goodness. We just attract beautiful interactions. We attract not only consciousness or conscious minds, but we attract hearts that are really dedicated to always being serviced, always being decluttered out so that we can have an organic, pure vessel. Guys, you know, Jesus Christ never had a tainted heart, but I'm so grateful to my homeboy. He really lay down his life for me so that I am able to have a connection with God that is fulfilling, that is one which I deserve, which is so freely given, and I am just covered in the sufficient grace of God, who holds no judgment over my head because I choose Jesus Christ every single day. Because I know that I am enriched and I am protected by the body and the blood of Christ. Whew. That's again. Mudimu ke star. Even through these things that I'm unpacking, God is continuously a star. But yes, it's kind of helping me not hold so much control when it comes to my relationship. It's helping me allow God to really work and allow God to show me in truth and to teach me, even though some lessons really are stinging. God is, I really believe, sharpening me. And the strength that I don't believe I have, trust me, I have. And it's not by my strength, it's by God's strength. Really, because sometimes, most times, because I feel so deeply, I tend to easily revert to my default setting, which is pessimism and not feeling worthy or not destined for greatness. And I've realized that that is things I've told myself, and it's really not true. It's never been true. It's never been a guideline that I should have, you know, stamped as my DNA. But because I'm sitting in this, I know I am freeing generations to come when it comes to these type of traumas and strongholds that are trying to pull me back. I know that the legacy I want to create is going to be fruitful. It's going to be prosperous and abundant and filled with so much love. Yes, obviously there's going to be some trials, but these generational curses are stopping with me. And moving forward, I just new timelines, just new storylines, just new.